Hello, Journey to Midwifery fans. Welcome back to another episode. This week, I had the great pleasure of interviewing with Heather. She is a practicing registered midwife in Scotland. And in this episode, we had a really good time discussing the differences between American and UK midwifery, some of the ways that we get there and what we do in practice. And it was just a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Journey to Midwifery podcast. This is a podcast for and about midwives. This is the place where midwives come to share their stories. I am your host, Amber Wilson, a midwife myself. I felt called to this journey of sharing the stories of midwives around the globe, and I hope that you will find as much joy listening as I do interviewing. Remember the quote, "Life is about the journey, not the destination." Okay, welcome to the podcast, Heather. I'm super excited to have you on. You are hailing to me from Scotland, and we are, what did we say, 6 hours apart, I think? Yes.
Yeah, 6 hours
right now,
apart, yeah.
Because we're in our time, sometimes we're 5 hours apart, but right now we're 6 hours apart. So introduce yourself.
So my name is Heather and I work as a midwife in Scotland. I've been qualified for 7 years now. I did my training up in a place called Aberdeen and I currently work in Fife, which is kind of central Scotland. So that's kind of about me. And I've got two little children. I've got a four-year-old and a wee girl who is 6 months old. So that's kind of my life just now.
And you are on your fabulous maternity leave, which is a year.
Yes. So I broke off on maternity leave at the end of May and I get a full year and I also get annual leave on top of that, so actually it works out as 13 months altogether.
Nice.
So it is pretty good.
Yeah.
Compared to as what you were saying, like in America you don't get that.
None. What is the like as far as pay when you're on leave? Mm-hmm. Does it equal your salary?
So you get 3 months of full pay. Okay. Then you get 3 months of half pay and then 3 months statutory pay and then 3 months of no pay. So what I've done is I've asked them to spread it out over the year so I get equal payments throughout my maternity leave. So I'm not left with no pay at the end. So yeah, it is really, really good. And it just means I get that time like to recover after the birth and just to bond with my baby and get to go to like baby classes and watch her kind of grow for the first year. So it's lovely.
Yes. And not have to just dread. I feel like for so many of us here in the United States, dreading going back to work because it's anywhere from 2 to 6 to 12 if you're lucky.
Yeah, I just can't believe that. I just could not imagine going back to work that quickly, but I suppose if you don't have a choice you kind of have to.
You do, but I will tell you, having gone back with 6-week-olds, it is heartbreaking.
It must be really, it'd be quite interesting to see like the effect of mental health and maybe like just postpartum depression and people from like the UK compared to America and going back to work and things like that.
Yeah, I did do a my doctorate project was maternity leave and its relation to maternal mood disorders, breastfeeding and bonding. And I actually used some data from a fabulous researcher in the UK, but I pulled data from America. And of course, like, I don't even have to tell you that I did 12 weeks was my cutoff, but 12 weeks or more was of course correlated with improved bonding, decreased you know, anxiety postpartum and improved breastfeeding. But really, like, that's a no-brainer. But I was like, I want to prove this.
So totally. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it must have such a huge effect on the breastfeeding rate as well. And mm-hmm. how can you, unless you're expressing, how can you keep that up for a long time? You know, right. It must be so difficult.
Yeah. And it feels daunting. I've heard from many, many, many people to think about going back to work so early, like six yeah. weeks, whatever. So they just yeah. don't even breastfeed because they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to yeah, breastfeed after that.
Yeah.
Even though yeah. I'm like, oh, just a little bit would be, even mm-hmm. if it's something, but so many of them will say, nope, I don't want to do it. It's just yeah. easier to start with a bottle from the beginning.
Yeah.
But that I would be curious comparatively to the UK or Canada. Yeah. To the data here. Mm-hmm. So that's yeah. a project.
Do Canada get a full year as well then?
What's that?
Do Canada get a full year?
I think I haven't interviewed anyone from Canada, but I'm pretty sure from what I've seen online that they get 52 weeks, and I think they have some sort of graduated system like you spoke about.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Much better. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We definitely have the worst of all industrialized countries.
Yeah, gosh, yeah. I still can't believe
that. It's so sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is.
We're fighting for it, but gosh, we've been fighting for it for decades.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I know.
Companies, and I told you offline, some companies are getting better, and you know, private like hospital systems, some of them offer them, but that just varies based on where you work. And
yeah, it's funny because you would think, I suppose it is like dependent on the country, but for example, like Amazon over here, apparently that's quite a really, you get quite good maternity leave mm-hmm. with Amazon, whereas if you work in America, you don't get that same.
Right. So if you work for Amazon in America, you do get good maternity leave.
Oh, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, class is good.
Yes. So I do, that must be an international policy. Well, for us, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's quite lengthy, but probably not a year.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And even like some companies over here would give paternity leave full pay for 6 months.
Yeah. Wow.
So like that's really, really good. You don't, that's quite a new thing that they're bringing in for dads, which is brilliant.
Did your spouse get any time off when you had the baby?
So he works away offshore, so he was home for I think it was 4 weeks or 3 weeks, and then he just went away for a week and came back for 5 weeks, so it was actually like pretty good.
Yeah, that's nice.
It worked out quite well.
That 1 week was probably tough.
It was challenging. It was just getting the balance of having the two kids by myself, but it was fine. You get into like your own routine and kind of manage it that way, which is fine.
Oh, we're all jealous over here listening to you. So midwifery, that's what we're talking about here, although that's all a part of it. So tell me from the beginning, what, I know y'all's path is different and we'll talk a little bit about that, but what brought you to midwifery? What made you say, this is the path I want to take?
So I went into midwifery straight from school. So when I was 18, so I was at that point and I was like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I really want to work with people, and I had like quite an interest in like science, but I don't know, caring for women. And I just was at a point and I was like, I just don't know. And then it just came to me. I was like, oh, I want to be a midwife. And I remember telling my mom that that's what I wanted to do. And she's like, oh no, Heather, you like can't do that. You would be like rubbish at like looking at women's parts, she would say, because she was quite like embarrassed about it. And I was like, nah, I'll be fine. And then I like went for my interview, and I just like really, really wanted to do it, kind of from when it came into my head. It wasn't anything, I know some people like from a young age kind of really want to do it, just kind of came to me, and I've kind of never looked back since. Like it is such a challenging job, but like I absolutely love it, and every day is so different and you get to meet so many different people, and I just think you couldn't get a job kind of the same, doing the same thing. And I kind of knew from the start I didn't want to like be a nurse, and I don't know if that's kind of how midwifery is in America, but I was just like, I didn't really want to work with like kind of more sick people, even though midwifery is kind of turning into that. But I just kind of, I love working with like all the women. So mm-hmm. it's really good. Yeah. And that's kind of what's got me into it.
And how long is the schooling?
So it is 3 years and it's quite an intensive course. You go to university and you also do placement at the same time. I find that quite challenging, being 18, fresh out of school, going into doing night shifts in a labour ward. I also was staying in like halls of residence, so I had loads of other students in the same halls as me, same like flat, and they were doing different courses, kind of like business and things like that. So they were up partying till 5 o'clock in the morning when I was getting up. So I found that really challenging because I couldn't sleep. It was really, really noisy. And I think that was quite hard. And where I trained, it was always like really dark in the winter and I was having to walk up to the hospital at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So I did like find that bit challenging. But from like working more in the hospital, you kind of get to know people and get more confident in going into the work. So it was really good. We like have different, so we've got like community midwives and hospital midwives. So during like the placements, you had experience through loads of different teams. So you'd go out to community for a bit, and then you would have a placement in the labour ward and then in the postnatal unit. So it was really, really good experience.
You start that from the very first year, like mixing in?
Yeah. So we started university in like the September and you would go into placement in the December. So it's quite quick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are kind of thrown in the deep, especially I find that challenging just coming from school because you're not used to doing like 12-hour shifts. Yeah. And
so young.
It's so different. Yeah.
It's very different. Yeah. And you graduate with like a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does it work as far as paying for a living while you're in school?
So it's quite good in Scotland. Mm-hmm. For midwives and nurses, you get a grant every year. So you get about, I think it's £6,000 a year to help, because you don't have time to work as well as have your placements and do your university. So they kind of give you that as to help. And then, to be honest, my parents helped me out quite a lot for mm-hmm. paying for like rent and things like that.
Do you have to pay for school?
No. In Scotland, you don't have to pay for, if you're like a Scottish citizen, you don't have to pay for university over here. So you get it all for free, which is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I can briefly tell you. So we have a couple paths, but the two main ones are a certified professional midwife, and then there's a certified nurse midwife.
Okay.
So the certified professional midwives, they can do some college or school. Many of them used to do what's called like a portfolio. So they would do births and work with another midwife mm-hmm. and then take an exam. It could take several years and then they would certify that way. And those midwives can only work in a out of hospital setting and they can only see pregnant people.
Okay.
And then you have certified nurse midwives or certified midwives. The majority is certified nurse. So I'll just talk about that. But somebody who was an RN. So in the United States, we don't have a nursing midwifery path. We have you become a nurse, so generally mm-hmm. that's your 4 year. We also have 2 year nurse, but I won't get into the semantics of that. And then midwifery is, we have advanced practice nurses here, and so midwifery is one of those. So you go on and you get either a 2 year or 4 year as a master's mm-hmm. or a doctorate. Either one, it's the same practice level. So it can take a long time. So by the time, you know, you're working, you become a midwife, you're usually, especially the CNM route, I'd say the youngest, probably mid-20s. So you're not thrown into it at 18. Yeah. You could in nursing school, of course, but then you're getting the mix of like healthy people, well people.
Versus,
you know, sometimes CPMs will say, well, I didn't want to take care of sick people. I didn't want to work in a hospital. I just want to take care of birthing families. Yeah. And so that's why they go that way. So that does have its, you know, mix of, you know, issues, because every state licensed differently. It has different laws, in the whole, you know, in this whole country, you can go from one state to the other and not even have the same ability to practice as you could in one state versus the other. So it's lots of frustrations among our community.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Must be really difficult.
And we pay for school, and we have to, you know, most have to work when they're in school, because you're paying for school, also supporting yourself. So then you come out with lots of student loans.
It's so different, isn't it?
Very different system.
Yeah.
But now, from my understanding, you guys do the majority of births.
Yes. So, well, when we're training as a midwife, we need to do 40 births. But yeah, when we're working as a midwife, it is the midwife that would help deliver the baby. So unless there's any complications, the doctors would be in. In the hospital that I work at, they have like a birthing unit, which is where all like the low-risk women go. They've got like a birthing pool. And it is just run by midwife, so it's like midwife led. And just down the corridor, there's a consultant led unit, so it would still be a midwife that looks after the women, and they would just have a team of doctors on by hand. They would come and do their ward round and just kind of oversee the management and just check that the midwife's like on the correct path and stuff like that. If the woman's having like a normal delivery, it would be the midwife that would look after her and would deliver the baby. So even if we like go to theater or it's a forceps, we're still there to assist for that as well. So we're with the woman throughout her journey for the birth as well. So it's good.
Yeah, we have, I mean, it's similar some places, but some places don't even have a midwife. So it's just OBGYNs. And that varies, of course. So we don't have a broad system like you all have. And then I would say another difference is, and you can tell me if I'm right, but we have nurses that are labor and delivery nurses, and then a midwife. So my role would be kind of managing all of the labor patients. And then, or, you know, depending on your setting, if you're a home birth, that's different. And then, you know, what are you going to do? Am I going to do Pitocin? Am I going to break water? Whatever. And then touching the baby. Whereas the nurses are the ones doing vital signs and, you know, helping turn the moms and things like that. And it's my understanding you guys do all of that, right? The nurse role.
We would
and
do all. Yeah. We do have like midwife, it's kind of not really the same thing, though. We do have like midwives that are core to like the labor ward, so they're kind of the most experienced staff on the ward. But no, it's just like the one midwife that would look after the women throughout.
And then when it's time for somebody to have a baby, do you have like a few of you that are in the room to help?
It's usually just two midwives, so you would just, once you see like Vertex, you would just buzz for your second midwife to come in, and they just help assist as well.
Baby, so, get them all.
And
now your population, can they choose home birth?
Yes. So where I am working just now, they have a home birth team, and that's run by three midwives, I think. So actually, due to COVID, there's quite a lot of women opting for a home birth because they don't want to come into the hospital. I think their service just now is like running at full capacity. And we've got a team of community midwives there on call as well to be like the second midwife to come in to assist the home birth midwives. But I think even for Scotland, I don't know if it's updated, but I think it's just 5% of births, our home births, so it's not a large amount. I don't know if that's maybe gone up over COVID, but it was quite low.
Or is this far less before.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably less. Like, oh yeah, 1-2%, something like that.
Okay.
But we don't have an integrated system like you have.
Yeah.
So there isn't like direct transport in most places, so that we just have that big hurdle. Or the midwives that are working with the families at home often can't go with them into the hospital.
Right. Okay.
So it's a barrier that we have to figure out how to overcome.
Yeah, that must be quite challenging, especially if the woman's had that midwife right throughout her labor, and if she needs to go in, she probably won't want someone different. So right. That is
and
difficult.
Some will go as like a labor support, but they can't, they can no longer manage.
Yeah.
So, and then with COVID, of course, then they couldn't go because.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that is actually quite similar as it is over here, because it would be like a labor ward midwife that would take over the care, and the other midwife would be able to stay. I guess it would just depend on kind of what's happening in that situation. Yeah.
But I feel like you all have like, okay, this person chose home birth and they're transferring. No big deal, just another day. But we have many places here that it's like, oh, that person was a home birth person, and they feel like, in some places, I'm not speaking for all, but maybe they feel not as welcomed into the hospital because they chose this path that some people may not agree with.
So, okay,
you know, that can be really frustrating for the family. That's like, well, I chose what I thought was best, and now so we just need to streamline. We have to improve that here.
Yeah, it must be hard with having that barrier.
So many. I think that's why we're always like in awe of all of you. Like, oh, you know, you have this system that works, that's in place, and why can't we figure it out? I mean, you all have had midwives within the system longer than we have.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we all want what's best for the women and their families. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What was your favorite like integration school? Was it community? Was it labor?
So I liked being within the hospital. I quite liked the buzz of it, and just having like, it's such a different pace. I do quite like high risk things like births and looking after the women. Community is kind of a totally different experience than working in the hospital. It used to be that it was like more experienced midwives that would work out in the community, because you are kind of lone working and you don't have that support. Well, you do have like a team, but it's not like you can just go down the corridor and ask them a question kind of thing. So it's just totally a different pace kind of thing. They are still really, really busy in community, but it's a different kind of busy. You're out visiting moms with new babies, and you've got all the breastfeeding challenges, or you've got like a really full clinic out in the doctor's surgery, so it's just so different from working in the hospital. But I do like working within the hospital, even just like doing water births and things like that. It's so lovely. And
in the hospital, in the hospital, water births.
Oh, do they not have that?
Not often. Some hospitals, but it's not the majority.
Oh, I had a water birth with my little girl.
Oh, in the hospital.
Yeah, in the hospital. Yeah.
That's nice. Do you have do you think a lot of people get epidurals?
Probably not as many as it is in America.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of women would kind of avoid it if they could. And then if they're really needing it, it's more induction of labors that are kind of on oxytocin that would require it. But I think the majority of people kind of want to just do it as natural as possible if they can. But it just depends on the management of their care. And some people obviously don't know what, when you're having your first baby, don't know what to expect. So I would say it's kind of like half and half of yeah, people, mostly people on the consultant led unit would have an epidural if they were like an induction, long labor, things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Do all of your moms get home visits postpartum?
Yeah.
Even if they've hospital birthed?
Yeah. Okay. So the community midwife will see a woman mostly up to 10 days after she's had her baby, but we can legally see a woman up until, I think it's 28 days after she's had a baby. Usually we would sign them over day 10 to the health visitor, but we would go and see them the first day after they got home from the hospital and just like go over their birth with them, making sure that they were like happy, they didn't have any complaints, and just checking that the baby's feeding well and is healthy. And yeah,
so the community midwives do that for the local hospital?
Yes. So
we're all so busy.
Yeah, so they're kind of all, the community midwife would see a woman during her pregnancy and then 10 days after the baby's born. So yeah, they see them kind of before and after.
But the hospital patients, the hospital moms, they get home visits too.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the community midwives see them as well.
Yeah. So all women get visit. Yeah.
Everyone gets a visit.
In their home. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone gets a visit.
And that's the team of three, you said, for where you are?
No. So the home birth midwives are separate from community midwives.
That's what I was wondering.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, because I was like, how do they do that?
No.
And then you all see them. You can see them up to 28 days, but you usually see them at the 10
usually
days.
Usually if there's like a problem that we've had to like keep the women in our care, but if everything's fine, we would transfer over to the health visitor.
And then are they seen again after 10 days?
By a health visitor they are. So that's more like a child nurse. And they only come out, well, at the moment, just because of COVID, they'll come out once, and then that's kind of you seeing everyone.
Yeah. Do they have access to, like, if they need breastfeeding support or
things? So they have a local breastfeeding support team here in Fife. So it's such a good service. They help, they come out at any time, well, like, during, like, kind of 9 to 5 hours, but you can just phone them during the day. They can give you advice over the phone, or they'll come out and like see what's wrong. And they can also like hire like a breast pump to mums, which is really good. So they're such a great team. They're really useful to have.
Are they also nurses?
So a lot of them are like, we're like breastfeeding mums that kind of just wanted to get into it. So their classes, I think, healthcare support workers that are doing it. So I don't know if they have to do, I think they maybe have to do some breastfeeding training, but they don't really have to go into like any nursing or any kind of qualification like that.
Yeah. And is that their job? Like, are they paid for that or is it volunteer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They do have like breastfeeding cafes, which I think that's just a voluntary kind of thing that the team kind of help out with, which is quite good to have.
I'm curious, like, what are you probably don't know off the top of your head, but like comparatively, what are your breastfeeding rates and what's your, you know, maternal mortality? Because the support just sounds dreamy.
Yeah, so breastfeeding rates usually, well, within hospital they kind of start maybe about 70%, but I think they do drop quite quickly. I can't remember off the top of my head what the actual percentage is, but our breastfeeding rates aren't amazing by any means. Like after 6 weeks they do drop off quite a lot. But I think it's just like lots of different challenges. I suppose there's like maternal choice and just wanting to bottle feed, and they do have the support there. I think a lot of it is maybe just being influenced by outside people and kind of feeling they're not comfortable with it, or maybe the baby's losing weight and yeah, they just can't keep it up. So
maybe not family support sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that, because to objectively it sounds like you have all the support and all the resources.
Tools out there, exactly. And they get really, really good support within the hospital. And like we do encourage like breastfeeding and things when they're in. But obviously if they want to bottle feed, that's totally fine as well. So we just encourage whatever they would like to choose.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I'm jealous over here, but we all kind of knew that's how you all did your path, but it's like, how do we integrate that here? Because we have such a different path. I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
And sometimes people are like, I want to go work in the UK, which I think would be cool. But I hear you have a big old, I was going to say, I hear you have a big, huge shortage. So what does that look like?
So at the moment, I think England's much worse off than Scotland is. A lot of midwives are just getting runs into the ground. I think with COVID, it's just not helping at all. I know like a couple of midwives that have come out of midwifery completely. They're quite newly qualified and they just can't get enough support. Which is from a lack of staff kind of thing, so they just can't keep it up. So they've got, one of them's like going into teaching and the other one's gone into doing a health visitor course. So it's such a shame, because that's how we're losing midwives all the time, because they just aren't supported enough, and then they're just in that fear something's going to happen and they're going to be liable for it, which is such a shame.
So are they feeling like the demand, like if you were on the labor ward, is just more than they can handle?
So we're supposed to be giving the women one-to-one care, and sometimes you're doing maybe, I know in England you're maybe doing two-to-one care, or my friend who works in England, she says sometimes she's got three patients and it's just dangerous. You've got women who are on epidurals, oxytocin, you've got them on a CCG, and you just can't manage three women at the same time. Even if you've got like a woman who's postnatal as well, they still need looked after. So it is such a challenge. I think there's been quite a lot of like protests about it to try to get more midwives to come into the profession and encourage it. But then you need team of experienced midwives to give those newly qualified midwives support as well. So it's just like a never-ending kind of battle.
Do they feel like, or at least in Scotland, that the pay is adequate?
I would say it's not really a pay issue as such. It's more that they need more support and there's not enough midwives to do that.
Do you think enrollment in midwifery school has increased at all?
They have increased, like in my class when I qualified. So I went into midwifery in 2011. There was 19 in my class, and that dropped, I think 14 of us qualified at the end, but now there's classes of 70. So they have really, really increased the amount of people coming into the course. But then I think a lot of the midwives that are, well, students that are qualifying aren't taking up jobs.
Have to hope that if there's so many and they take jobs, then their load will be lower,
and it's just trying to keep them is the issue. That's kind of where there's like a kind of balancing act trying to sort all that.
Do you know what sort of thing they've done to boost enrollment? Like, was there some kind of incentive, or was it just, hey, we need more?
Yeah, I think we had like there's a nurse program. So if you're a nurse, they mm-hmm. used to do like a program where you could do another year and qualify as a midwife if you wanted to change into midwifery. And they weren't doing it in many places, but I think they've started to encourage more nurses to come into midwifery. But then you'll have that on the other side of nursing, they'll be losing all the nurses.
Yeah.
So,
they're not good either.
There's that. And in England, they stopped the bursary. So they were stopping the £6,000 to go in a year. And I think they've maybe started that again. So just to kind of encourage more people to come into the profession. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, even just with like, I know this sounds so silly, but we've got a show called Call the Midwife. I don't know if you've watched it.
Yeah,
but even having that on, I think, I don't know if that's like the right reasons for people to come into midwifery. I suppose it kind of gives them an insight of midwifery. Maybe they never thought about it before, but that kind of encourages people as well to kind of go into the job.
Yeah, so they get a little hint of that. Birth adrenaline, I guess.
Yeah, that's
funny. Yeah, I read the books before the shows came out, so people will probably shun me, but I haven't. I've only watched a handful of the shows
because
the books really were good, so good that I was like,
"Yeah, you don't want to ruin it."
Yeah, but I'm. I know the show is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and you know we love to hear that the British accent over here. I love your accent. I love it. You know, I told you I want to come to Scotland. So
yeah.
I love it. What else? What would you say to somebody that was thinking about going into midwifery? Do you have any like words of wisdom or?
So I would say definitely have a look into what midwifery is, because I know a lot of people just think, oh, midwifery is looking after babies, when you never really are looking after a baby. You are in utero, but majority of the care is you're looking after women and our family. And if you do have a passion about going into midwifery, definitely like pursue it, because it's such like a rewarding job, and I don't think there's a job out there like it. You see such a special moment in someone's life, and it's just like amazing. And every time you see a baby being born, it's just like a little miracle, and you see that emotion between the parents. It's not necessarily always that, because you do have other sides of midwifery which can be really upsetting. And I think just having like an awareness of what midwifery is, and if you kind of feel passionate about it, just go for it, because the world always needs a midwife, and there's lots of jobs in the UK, so feel free to come over.
Do you guys offer opportunities for like you said, you went in right after school and suddenly there you were working 12-hour shifts. Do you have opportunities for younger people to like shadow? That's probably really challenging to even think about, but
so when I decided that's kind of what I wanted to do, that's what I was trying to do, is find someone that I could shadow. Like I had a friend whose mum was a midwife, and you just can't do it. It's so hard, I think, because you need certain like a PVG just to make sure like you're safe and things like that. There's so many like barriers to kind of jump before you can even work in a hospital, so it's challenging that way to like shadow anyone.
It's the same here as far as hospital for sure.
I mean, you could do like the breastfeeding side of it and kind of volunteer that way, but then you kind of need some experience to do that. But I suppose you could shadow doing breastfeeding support.
But really, do you have doulas there?
Not many. So we do have some doulas, but I've never looked after a woman with a doula. Hardly ever see women coming in with a doula, but they are, you do hear of women getting one and having a support. So they are definitely out there.
Yeah, that's a way that some people will recommend here, is to shadow a doula or follow a doula or a doula, because you kind of get that birth life experience and not invest in school. But it sounds like we have probably more than you do, but we have more of a reason.
So,
still not a ton, but I don't know. Maybe one day we'll converge, but I think it's a little bit of a challenge too, to try to, I looked into it years ago, to work in the UK.
Yeah.
From America.
Yeah. I did work with one American midwife. Mm-hmm. And I think she did have some challenges to get over to the UK, but when she did start working, she kind of made her way up into midwifery, so she really loved it. And I remember her speaking about how different it was over in Scotland, and she absolutely loved being a midwife over here. So there must be a way.
Probably just because you all have to clarify what route we came from, and does that meet your needs?
Yeah, I think she kind of had to prove how she was being a midwife in America. Yeah.
Yeah.
All very different.
It is so different. It is. All of us, maybe we all want to come. We'll help your shortage.
Do you have a midwife shortage over there at all?
Well, I would say that the answer would be yes and no. We need more midwives because we all know that data shows that outcomes are improved with midwifery care. Mm-hmm. But we've functioned using an obstetric system for so long that growing the midwifery force is slow. And it's not necessarily oh no, it's unsafe because we don't have enough midwives, because we have L&D nurses and we have OBGYNs.
Yeah.
So yes, so shortage in that we need more so we can improve our maternal mortality and morbidity, but it's not necessarily the dire that you all are in.
Yeah. So do you have quite a high cesarean section rate?
The national average is, I believe the last thing I read was 32%.
Okay. I think that might be quite similar to over here. Yeah.
And that would vary. I mean, you could go to a hospital that's 50% and you can go to another hospital that's in the teens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that affects it. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So I thought your alls was pretty similar. Sure, we probably have similar reasons. And as far as you mentioned earlier, your sick care is increasing.
Yeah.
Which is the same here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I
think that's not going to change. But
the
way that we care for that,
yeah,
at least here,
definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I think you're getting so many people into the service that would never have got pregnant before, which is amazing, but it also has challenges medically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so. I've really enjoyed speaking to you, though.
It's been
so interesting hearing your point of view from midwifery and how different it is in America.
Definitely gave us things to think about, everything from the school being paid for to the student.
I feel very lucky now knowing that. Mm-hmm.
And maternity leave.
The maternity leave, definitely. But if you ever want to come visit Scotland, let me know.
Give you some
recommendations.
I'm going to. Thank you.
Well, Journey to Midwifery fans, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Heather was a blast, and I just love her accent. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I don't have any more interviews scheduled until about the middle of January. So on this little hiatus, take a listen to some old episodes and keep sending me your recommendations. You can email them to me at journeytomidwiferypodcast@gmail.com or Facebook and Instagram at Journey to Midwifery Podcast. And I just wanted to give a little shout out to all those who are about to enter midwifery school. Go check out amidwifenation.com. She just put out a really, really great getting ready for school, getting ready for clinicals go by. And so she was a guest of mine about a year and a half ago and a personal friend, but she has some amazing resources. And so I wanted to point this one out for those of you that are looking at starting midwifery school very soon in your future or are in it. It's a great resource. So, until next time.